to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, we got a very big show for you today, including some breaking news I just received 1 minute ago about some of the inclusions in the Arctic frost information that's been released today. We have a lot of, we have several bombshells. We're sitting here under a fusillade of bombshells being dropped by the House Oversight Committee and the Republicans in office. I'll talk about all that. Brianna Morello is going to join me in studio to discuss the inclusion of one Alex Jones in these documents and what was being done to him and why. So very, very interesting information coming up. Of course, a lot of other stuff, too. Let's just get into it, shall we? Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 28th of October, 2025. House Oversight Committee deems all Biden auto pin actions null and void, demands investigation by AG Pam Bondi. The Biden auto pin scandal has taken a new turn, and the Department of Justice may soon get involved. The House Oversight Committee, led by Representative James Comer, released a 100-page report today declaring all of Biden's auto pin executive actions null and void. Hear that, Hunter Biden. Hear that, Anthony Fauci. Yeah, it turns out that you can't just have a puppet on the throne, a puppet president who has no idea where he is or what's going on, while a bunch of random unelected underlings affix the presidential signature to whatever orders they decide. And we've got some very interesting information about that from the House Oversight Committee. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, Amazon targets as many as 30,000 corporate job cuts, sources say. That's right, folks. The corporate offices of Amazon, after systematically replacing all of the warehouse workers with robots, have themselves been replaced. What a coincidence. What an irony. This figure represents just a small percentage of Amazon's 1.5 million employees, but nearly 10% of its roughly 350,000 corporate employees. This would mark Amazon's largest job cut since late 2022, when it started to eliminate around 27,000 positions. So a couple interesting, you know, developments that I think this represents. One, that you're going to see companies cutting employees because they're doing well, right? Typically, you would think a company is cutting 30,000 employees because they're not doing something right. But actually, AI is just being implemented. They're doing even better than ever, so they're cutting all of the employees. That's the inverse of capitalism, but you know, who am I to say? And then the other thing is that Amazon's stock price actually went up. It's gone up by a percentage since the announcement that 10% of their corporate workforce has been destroyed. So yeah, I think AI is sort of making capitalism all topsy-turvy these days. Meanwhile, noted billionaire climate alarmist Bill Gates slams doomsday view of climate change in stunning new memo. Well, I'm sure I'm glad we didn't listen to you about anything, because as I've said before, they treat climate change like something like, I don't know, COVID. But with COVID, you could lock everybody down. That would do a lot of damage. But eventually, you could let everybody out again. You could reverse a lot of the policies implemented to fight COVID. You can't reverse spraying aluminum into the sky to block out the sun. You can't quickly reverse culling every cow in the herd because you think cow farts release methane. The things they want us to do to fight so-called climate change are irreversible. So now that Bill Gates admits that they're not necessary anyway, I sure am glad we didn't do a lot of them. And frankly, he should be in jail. Meanwhile, Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu orders military to immediately carry out strikes in Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu ordered Israel's military to carry out immediate, quote, powerful strikes in the Gaza Strip, and those have been carried out. It looks like the ceasefire might not last too much longer, and I don't think anybody's particularly surprised. Finally, Musk's anti-woke Grokopedia has landed, and it hosts 900,000 articles on day one. Yes, the truthful alternative to Wikipedia has been launched, and we have some pretty funny comparisons to give you about Wikipedia versus Grok. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. After Daily Dispatch, we'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow. Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. We're hyped for this Tuesday broadcast. And there's a lot of stuff to be hyped about. A lot of stuff just breaking today. And this is what I always wanted. Every day I would do the American Journal. It would end at 11 a.m., and at 11.01 a.m., all of the news would break. I'd have to sit there and go, well, guess I'll cover that tomorrow. Not anymore, folks. No, it's Harrison's the first to deliver this news now. A ton of news is breaking and continues to break and has broken today. From the AutoPen scandal to new information from the Arctic Frost surveillance program that Jack Smith was running against Republicans. And some very interesting developments in that case. Brandon Morello is going to join me in the next hour in studio to talk about some of this. This is her tweet from today. Breaking news, investigators from Operation Arctic Frost leveraged FBI field offices nationwide to carry out their probe. Arctic Frost investigators sought $16,600 in funding for travel to perform over 40 interviews. Up to 45 individuals, among them Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudolph Giuliani, Jeffrey Clark, John Eastman and Mark Meadows were potentially subjects of the investigation. An additional 111 individuals, including Peter Navarro, Dan Scavino, Jeff Rosen, and Ed Martin, were also potentially under scrutiny. And the whole report of this is hundreds of pages long. But at page 72, as Adan Salazar noted, at Adan Salazar Wins, Alex Jones's cell phone is mentioned as one of the pieces of evidence that was collected during all of this. So Brandon Morello has been making calls, digging into the behind-the-scenes story of what this is all about. We're going to talk to her about that next hour. But of course, the biggest, I think, these are both huge. There's a lot of very large bombshells dropping right now. But I think the biggest is the one the crew just had up. House Oversight Committee deems some of Biden's auto pin orders invalid and asks the DOJ to investigate, which they absolutely have to. I mean, they have to investigate this. If anything that this House Oversight Committee is saying is true, it has to be investigated and criminal charges have to be laid. Because this is a literal usurpation of authority in this country from the people that Americans voted for to somebody else. And we're not entirely sure of who that other person is exactly. We have some ideas. There's potential people that, you know, could be the ones. But actually, the House Oversight Committee released a very long report on this, like a fully produced, almost mini documentary about this release. And I think I'm going to go to that pretty much the whole thing, just to give you the overview here. The House Oversight Committee on Tuesday published its final report on the investigation into Biden administration's use of AutoPen, concluding that at least some of the president's orders are invalid and calling on the Justice Department to investigate. Earlier this year, the House Oversight Committee launched a probe into President Joe Biden's alleged use of an AutoPen to sign pardons and other presidential orders during his waning days in office. His waning days tried the entirety of his administration. After 3 months of investigation that included interviews with President Biden's senior aides, the panel chairman, GOP Representative James Comer from Kentucky, came to suspect what he and his colleagues had uncovered could be used as evidence to overturn some of the executive orders because those senior staff failed to prove the evidence the president knew what he was signing. Comer says actually almost all of the auto pen orders are invalid, signed remotely when the president had no idea it was being done. And that's illegal. So what are we doing? So, okay, this has to be step one of a mini-step process. Step two would be charging files and actually, you know, putting these people in jail for the usurpation of the sovereignty of the United States for their own twisted and perverted ends. So I want to go to this video. It's a little bit longer, and typically I try to avoid showing videos this long, but I think it's worth it, and it is really jam-packed with information and extremely well done. Clip number two here. This is posted. This is a video from the GOP House Oversight Board, the House Committee on Oversight. Joe Biden was not running the show, and we're not really sure who was at the end of the day. Satan, I guess. I guess you can put Satan at the top of that pyramid. Here's a video from the House Oversight Committee.
Was the number one issue in the campaign the president's fitness or his age?
Did you ever see President Biden in a wheelchair?
I do not recall ever seeing President Biden in a wheelchair.
And new information now on the people in his inner circle and how the cover-up actually operated.
Senior aides that worked here until just a couple months ago, the beginning of this year, manipulating an ailing president for their own gain.
How much were you paid for your role in the campaign in 2024?
Just a little bit short of $1 million.
How much?
$1 million.
You believe that the president should stay in the race. Your own financial stake in the matter was a factor in any way in your advice to the president.
I don't believe that.
And when it comes to President Biden's decline, the official word from Biden World about all these news stories is that nothing has been revealed this week that shows that President Biden was anything but an effective president.
Yes, I noticed that he was aging in terms of his physical condition. I noticed that, you know, he shuffled more.
But he has more stumbling over words and gaffes than he did, you know, at the beginning of the term.
His rhetorical skills were not as strong as they had been, and his speeches were less effective, I thought.
We talked about age. We knew it was an issue, and we tried to design a strategy.
We had a discussion at the senior advisor level about whether the president should have a cognitive exam.
Flashback now to the legacy media's complete denial of the president's cognitive decline.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him.
I said what I believe to be true.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline. And I hadn't.
He is just fine. How people interpret that is up to them.
We're watching the testimony of this woman here, Annie Thomas Sr. She's the former senior advisor to President Joe Biden. She was the third person set to appear before James Comer's committee. She has now taken the fifth. There is now a pattern of key Biden confidants seeking to shield themselves from criminal liability for this potential conspiracy.
Were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
The advising counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon the physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Dr. O'Connor has invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Dr. O'Connor, did you ever believe the president was unfit to execute his duties as president?
And we can tell you that he will have the same answer with respect to any questions that are asked.
Did any unelected official or family member of President Joe Biden execute the duties of the presidency?
Did Joe Biden, a member of his family, or anyone at the White House ever instruct you to lie regarding his health?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
And if that wasn't shocking enough, Dick Tapper claims Hunter Biden was basically acting like the chief of staff.
Hunter was driving the decision-making for the family. He was almost like a chief of staff.
Did you notice an uptick ever when Hunter Biden was around?
Yes. Towards the end, I think he was living with the president.
They were lying not just to the public. They were lying to other Democrats.
Have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Were you in favor of Hunter Biden getting a pardon?
Yes.
Did you ever ask Joe Biden if the allegations regarding his son were true?
No.
Ian Sams, who was the White House spokesperson, interacted with him two times.
Well, I think it's really important to take the soundbite and understand the context.
How often would you say that you interacted with the president in person?
I interacted with him pretty infrequently. I think I met with the president a handful of times during my tenure in the White House.
I got to say, that doesn't look anything like the president that I know. When I deal with him, he's sharp. He's asking tough questions. That's the President Biden that so many of us experience every single day.
You don't think it's missing some context?
I don't.
So it raises serious concerns and serious questions about who was calling the shots in the White House. If the White House spokesperson is being shielded from the President of the United States, who was operating the Oval Office?
Age wasn't an issue for you or for President Biden?
No, it was not at this point.
Do you think President Biden was fully in command that night during the debate?
I do believe that he was fully in command that night during the debate.
I knew it was very difficult to get past some of the visual things that were causing people concern about the president's
future. The voters' concerns about President Biden were wrong?
Yes.
He often would confuse names.
You think it got worse as you knew him?
Yes.
Are you sure you're being honest with yourself when you say you have the mental and physical capacity to serve another 4 years?
Yes, I am.
I did not have the experience that it took him longer to answer a simple question.
He could stumble. He also stumbled some physically.
What is it you think?
It was something that we did not coin. It was something that the media coined.
Did you or did anyone ever verify if the videos you were talking about were, in fact, cheap fakes?
I believe so.
But there were instances where videos were circulated of President Biden appearing confused.
All right, folks, that goes on for another couple of minutes. You can follow GOP Oversight at GOP Oversight on X. And it's just, it's worth reminding you, these people are liars. They are outrageous liars, and they're continuing to lie to you. And even in those depositions, I dare say they were lying. Nobody came up with a cheap fake thing before Jeanine, whatever her name is, Pierre, came up with it. And remember, these people, it's just, there's perhaps never been a more blatant, like, stark example of what ridiculous liars these people are and why they stop lying, right? They didn't stop lying because they all suddenly realized that Joe Biden was incompetent. They admitted what they always knew to be true because the denial became ridiculous. That's what happened. When they could cover up the examples of his insanity, when they could try to disguise it or hide it or call it cheap fakes, then they were willing to lie because they thought they could get away with it. It was only when the truth became insurmountable. It was only when they were forced, because they would look ridiculous to say otherwise, they were forced to admit what we all knew the entire time, what we'd been reporting on for years at that point. I remember, every day on American Journal, pretty much, and every day I had a video, I would play it, and it was almost every day. We would play a video of Joe Biden falling off his bike, being ordered around by the Easter Bunny, getting lost in his own backyard, shaking hands with people that didn't exist, saying hello to people who'd been dead for 10 years. Every single day was another example of this, because every time he went out in public, it was obvious and apparent how incompetent he was. And every day, the people around him who knew better than us what was really going on went out and lied to your face, looked you in the eye through the camera lens, and told you lies because they thought it would benefit them. And only when the debate happened and Joe Biden was forced to contend with Donald Trump with no intermediary did it become not suddenly obvious of the condition of Joe Biden. It became impossible for them to lie with sincerity or conviction ever again. And so they had to come clean and pretend like they were all just realizing it. I just want to remind you, just want to emphasize that, because it goes throughout everything that we talk about every single day. It's just, it's proof positive beyond any reasonable doubt in black and white. These people are willing to lie to your faces about things that you know are fake and they know are fake. They will still lie to your face. So when they're talking about the government shutdown, when they're talking about standing up to Trump for free speech, nothing they say is to be taken seriously or believed in the slightest. These people will lie about anything for as long as they think they can get away with lying. That is the point of the auto pin scandal. And of course, it was a usurpation of the rights and the authority, the position that we granted as the American people to Joe Biden, stolen by his underlings. And of course, that doesn't even count the fact that he wasn't elected to president in the first place and the entire election was rigged. So we'll get back to that, because again, that I think is one of, if not the biggest story of today, with the House Oversight Committee basically saying that none of this stuff, none of the stuff that Joe Biden did was valid. In fact, the exact quote from this article: the Oversight Committee concluded that senior Biden White House staff illegally exercised the president's authority on his behalf by directing the use of AutoPen, and they failed to document the office's decision-making processes. In other words, this would be acceptable if they could show that Joe Biden delegated this authority to somebody else in full competence and knowledge of what he was doing. They don't have that information. People were literally signing things, signing Joe Biden's name to documents that he didn't even know existed. Okay. The committee's investigation turned up alarming deficiencies in the documentation and chain of custody for key presidential decisions. In some cases, President Biden was only said to have approved certain actions verbally or without clear record of the decision memorialized by his staff. For example, Neera Tanden, who served as the senior advisor and staff secretary during Biden's term, testified before the committee that she had remarkably little interaction with the president, despite her responsibility to record presidential decisions and actions. Well, I mean, how, you know, she didn't spend enough time on the beach, I guess. I mean, who dealt with Joe Biden more? His chief of staff, Neera Tanden, his senior advisor, or whoever was cooking up mimosas on a Delaware beach somewhere? Because he spent more time lying like a squid on a beach than he did in the Oval Office making executive decisions. His entire administration was a fraud from the beginning. Everything about it. I mean, how far do you want to go back? The election was rigged because of the mail-in ballots that were fraudulent and were only there because of COVID, which itself was a lie, and the lockdowns were purposely designed to bring about the mail-in ballots, not to have anything to do with health, because I don't know if I've mentioned this, these people are outrageous liars that will take advantage of you whenever they possibly can. Okay, so everything about the Biden administration was a celebration of criminality. Like, that's all. It was fraudulent from the beginning, a hoax all the way down. The whole thing needs to be scrubbed from our history, as far as I'm concerned. Every decision the man made needs to be reversed. Every pardon, every preemptive pardon he issued, as absurd as that is on the face of it, now needs to be really shoved in the shredder. And everybody who he tried to protect through this needs to be charged, and everybody engaged in this gigantic deception of the American people needs to be sent to jail for a very long time. And that's it. And that's the end of the discussion. That's just where we're at this point. Again, we'll get back into that a little bit later, but we're learning more about what is included in Arctic Frost. Here's the article from New York Post. Merrick Garland, Chris Wray signed off on Arctic Frost, the probe that targeted GOP groups, spied on senators, documents show. So this was not a rogue prosecutor. This was not an accident. This was signed off on by the highest in the Biden administration. And I guess that would include Biden himself, since he didn't actually exist and wasn't really involved in anything. So in terms of the conscious human beings with the ability to make decisions, these are the highest people in the Biden administration: Merrick Garland and Chris Wray, head of the FBI and the attorney general at the time. These top Biden administration officials personally signed off on an FBI investigation that would go on to target nearly 100 Republican-linked entities or groups and may have spied on members of Congress. Former Attorney General Merrick Garland, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, and FBI Director Christopher Wray's signatures all appear on an April 4th, 2022 document authorizing the Bureau's Arctic Frost probe that was released Thursday by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. Grassley accused the Biden administration of having unleashed unchecked government power at the highest levels in a bombshell X post on the disclosures before vowing, "My oversight will continue." The FBI's Washington field office requested the senior official's authorization before looking into an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College, and fraudulent certificates of electors' votes were submitted to the archivist of the United States purporting to represent the actual elector votes from the states of Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Wisconsin. So the field office requested the senior official's authorization looking into an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. See, this thing is key to understanding all of this. An apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. That's what they're framing January 6th as. It was the exact opposite. The exact opposite. I want to ask you again, in case people don't know, why was Congress in session on January 6th, 2021? Why were they there? What were they doing? Why were both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, why were they both in chambers on January 6th, 2021? It was to determine whether or not to certify the electoral votes. How could it possibly be illegal to advocate to not certify the votes if there's a vote there, if there's a congressional hearing to determine whether or not to certify the electoral votes? If you're voting to certify the votes, it sort of implies that you can vote to not certify the votes. Does that make sense? The reason they were there on January 6th was to determine whether by unanimous decree or whatever the threshold is, they approved of the results of the Electoral College, or if through the applicable number of objections, they would enter into a 10-day investigation period where a independent team would be told the complaints that citizens had, the concerns they had about the legitimacy of the election, and they would have a 10-day period to investigate those claims and determine whether they were valid or whether the vote should, in fact, be certified. That was the point of January 6th from the beginning. The point of going to the Capitol on January 6th was to show the congressmen and senators that there were millions of Americans that wanted them to do this. There were millions of, because they were being told that it was illegal to question the election, that they were election deniers if they didn't certify the vote. I mean, there was so much media pressure condemning and hiding and concealing the objections people had that a lot of Congress people are pressured by. They're pressured by that type of influence. They're pressured by that type of media coverage. And so going there on January 6th in mass, ask any American that was on their way to the Capitol. They didn't say they wanted to stop the certification of the electoral votes. They said they wanted the 10-day waiting period. They wanted people like Ted Cruz and others who had vowed to object and to demand the 10-day investigation to encourage them and tell them this isn't some fringe, random, collection of conspiracy theorist schizophrenics that are saying this, because that was how it was portrayed. It was portrayed as though every thinking person, everybody who knows, everybody who cares, anybody with any, ounce of intelligence in their brain, they know this wasn't rigged. In fact, it wasn't just a secure election. It was the most secure election of all time, right? That was the claim they made. And the size of the crowd in January 6th was a direct confrontation of that. It was a direct abolishment of that idea to come in and say, no, there's millions of us. We all know this was rigged, and we all demand a free and fair election, and we demand that our congressmen stand up and demand that 10-day investigation period where we can actually air our objections and actually explain the rigging that went on. These people took that perfectly legal, totally constitutional advocacy that they were doing, framed it as a crime, and used that to get warrants on hundreds or thousands of people, including journalists like Alex Jones, although they didn't get a warrant for him, and that's a big issue. More on the other side. I'll explain it all. Don't go anywhere.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama in 2013 serially listed us as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the crossfire hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic frost as one of the main people to be taken out. by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information, I have the background, I have the research, I have the guest, I have the crew, we have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, you are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So add, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, two great flavors now available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. High-quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, safe, healthy, metabolic, great turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Finding more out about Arctic Frost and just how huge and sprawling this completely outrageous so-called investigation was. I don't even want to call it an investigation. This was purely just a political fishing expedition, as far as I'm concerned. Because like I just said, I can't even determine what the underlying crime would be that they got these warrants signed off on. As far as I can tell, there isn't one. The FBI's Washington field office requested the senior official's authorization before looking into an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. Again, that is, I mean, the process for this, the procedure for this is constitutional. It's the reason they were there on January 6th. So how could it possibly be a crime to advocate for something that is constitutionally, that they're constitutionally obligated to consider? It is completely outrageous and ridiculous. So they use this, as far as I'm concerned, total non-crime to go after everybody. And I guess they use January 6th as the excuse, as if anybody involved in this had anything to do with January 7th. I mean, the whole thing is stupid. I thought the official story was that the Trump supporters in the Capitol on January 6th wanted to kill all the Republicans. I thought they wanted to hang Mike Pence and kill all of the congressmen. Now the congressmen are being investigated because of the people that wanted to kill them. That doesn't make any sense. No, none of it makes any sense. It's all outrageous. It's all absurd. Open source reporting and public statements made by individuals closely associated with Donald Trump, Inc., the Trump campaign, present articulatable factual basis indicating the existence of a federal crime, and thus the FBI seeks to open a full investigation, according to the four-page memo written by Ray. Open source reporting and public statements made by individuals closely associated with the Trump campaign present an articulable factual basis indicating the existence of a federal crime. What federal crime? And he says open source reporting, by the way. This is what I was talking about, how they will launch a fake investigation, leak the information from that investigation to the media. The media reports on it. Then they use that reporting as the reason why they need to investigate more and open file for more warrants. That's what they're saying here. When they say open source reporting, what they mean is that people in the media have published things that they're told by the intelligence agencies that the intelligence agencies are then using to get a warrant to spy on everybody. The FBI boss, Chris Wray, who resigned one day before Trump returned to office as the 47th president, sent the missive to Garland, who signed it on April 5th, 2022. Merrick, I recommend you approve, Monaco scrawled beneath her boss's signature line. Arctic Frost would eventually provide investigative material to special counsel Jack Smith for his indictment of Trump charging unlawful efforts to reverse Joe Biden's 2020 electoral victory. But prominent donors, allies, and even sitting senators were also swept up in the FBI's dragnet. So this started with the FBI. It started with Chris Wray and Merrick Garland. They launched this investigation, then they handed it off to Jack Smith, random dude, not approved by the Senate, not actually given the authority to do what he then did, which was to gather all of this information and collate it and use it to get dirt on the Republicans. According to the unclassified files released by Grassley, the Bureau quietly issued subpoenas for 9 congressional Republicans' phone records as part of the probe, a move the 92-year-old senator called a weaponization of federal law enforcement that was, quote, arguably worse than Watergate. Arguably worse than Watergate? Okay. Is being attacked by Godzilla arguably worse than being bitten by a mouse? Yeah. It's arguably worse. Perhaps instead of arguably, you could use the word substantially or unimaginably. Yeah, this is Watergate. Honestly, Watergate. I mean, maybe that's a good point. Maybe, you know, the point that we should be making is putting this in context with something like Watergate, where you had a couple of guys trying to jimmy open a file cabinet at the DNC. Is that more or less of a violation than the Democrats in power issuing secret warrants to sweep up all of the call data for a large portion of their opposition in Congress and the Senate? Which is worse? Gee, I wonder. Insane. Senator Marsha Blackburn has since accused Smith, whose case against Trump was dismissed before he assumed office, of having spied on duly elected members of Congress, and called for the DOJ ex-special counsel's disbarment. I think he should be imprisoned. As part of Jack Smith's weaponization witch hunt, the Biden DOJ issued subpoenas to several telecommunication companies in 2023 regarding our cell phone records, gaining access to the time, recipient, duration, and location of calls placed on our devices from January 4th, 2021 to January 7th, 2021. Blackburn wrote in a letter earlier this month, co-signed by others whose phone metadata was accessed. We have yet to learn any legal predicate for the Biden Department of Justice issuing subpoenas to obtain these cell phone records, added the letter, which was also signed by Senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, and Dan Sullivan of Alaska, as well as Representative Mike Kelly. Senators Ron Johnson, Bill Hagerty, Josh Hawley, and Cynthia Loomis also had their call logs seized during Arctic Frost. The so-called toll analysis of the phones could have shown who each member was calling or texting in the lead-up and immediate aftermath of the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot. So they weren't actually listening into the content of the phone calls, as far as we can tell, as far as we know, as far as been presented so far. I wouldn't put anything past them. But you can get a hell of a lot of information knowing who calls who when, especially if it's a flurry of calls if you've got one person talking to another person, they hang up and immediately call another person. You can very easily establish a network, especially if you're doing it over a long period of time. You can get really all the information you need simply from the metadata. And it's private information, and it is not subject to investigations like this, especially if it's congressmen and congresswomen. I mean, were they going to be charged with crimes? Were they going to be charged with treason or something of the equivalent if Kamala or Biden had won, if they'd been able to actually get this done the way Jack Smith wanted it to? Or is it just to gather the information to use in, for other purposes, for electoral purposes, perhaps, in the same way that they used, you know, this would be kind of the reversal. It'd be like an inverse of the dossier, where the dossier was the FBI using opposition research from the Hillary Clinton campaign. This would be the Democrat campaign using information supplied by the intelligence agency. So kind of an inverted role, but not a dissimilar one. Additionally, 92 Republican or GOP-aligned groups or people, including Turning Point USA, co-founded by the assassinated conservative activist Charlie Kirk, were investigated in a way that appeared to show Arctic Frost was much broader than just an electoral matter. Arctic Frost was much broader than just an electoral matter. And again, I want to remind you that all of this surveillance, all focused on Republicans, all illegal, and a lot of it warrantless, all of that is predicated on the idea that Republicans were advocating for their own representatives to object on January 6th to the certification of the electoral votes, which is the whole point of them going to the Capitol on January 6th in the first place. So they used Republicans' civic participation in a constitutional process to justify mass surveillance of senators, congressmen, and prominent Republican activists. And I just want to say real quick, because it gets crazier. It really does get even more insane where all this stuff goes. And Brandon Morello is digging into this and really going to have a lot more to tell us in the next hour. But we don't need the Democrats' permission to go after them. I know this might sound stupid, but we know what they did. And I just explained it to you. They took the lawful participation in the electoral process that Republican representatives, senators, as well as their constituents engaged in as a predicate to spy on all of their enemies. They can come up with whatever excuses they want. They can claim this is weaponization. They can claim whatever. It doesn't matter. We have them dead to rights. All that matters now is that they're brought to justice. And we have to get justice for this. We have to. I mean, the other reaction would be to just, this is now the precedent, and this is just what we do now. And that's not a world I want to live in. It's not a world I want to live in when one party can simply look at another party engaged in an equal contest for votes and just criminalize what the other party's doing and say, well, you know, we don't want them to object to the electoral vote. Therefore, we're going to get warrants to spy on all of them because we don't like that they're doing that. There's nothing illegal about it. Nothing about this is justified. Nothing about this is warranted. And everybody involved has to be held to maximum account because our country can't exist with people like this. We have the House, we have the Senate, we have the executive branch. If they don't just come down with the hammer on these people and just treat them like anybody else, like I'm sick of a two-tier system of just the Democrats getting away with everything all of the time, forever, constantly. Just constant misery, constant oppression, constant violations of the rule of law, constant violations of privacy, constant. And they never get held to account while constantly braying and whining and crying crocodile tears about non-existent oppression, potential imagined oppression from the Trump administration, sucks all the energy out of the room. There's real oppression going on. And like, what do we have to prove? How much more could you possibly need? And it's like, we don't even need this. I'm almost pissed off at this because it's like, okay, so what? So what? Operation Warp Speed, the special counsel investigating Russiagate, James Comey leaking, and, again, launching surveillance operations for no other reason than political gamesmanship. We don't need that. I mean, it's like, at a certain point, you can, stop digging up dead bodies out of John Wayne Gacy's backyard. Right? By the time you're pulling the 18th skeleton out of the ditch, you can go, I think we got him. I think, actually, this is enough. Now, if this had come out of nowhere, we all trusted the government, and suddenly this came out, yeah, it would be about 100 times worse than Watergate. The problem is we're, inured to this. We're, inoculated against the reaction we should be having because this type of violation, this type of massive government overreach, completely unconstitutional, abuse of power by the Democrats, happens on a routine basis. So is this going to be any different? Oh, now we have, we only had 17 dead bodies before. Now we have the 18th one. We'll definitely charge him with murder. That's how it feels at this point. Where it's like, okay, great. More evidence, more data for a trial that's never going to come. More evidence for a case that has never been made for some unspoken reason. Do you need Christopher Wray to give you permission to arrest him? Do you need to ask Merrick Garland to politely turn himself in? Or can you kick their doors down like you did to Roger Stone at 5 in the morning? Why not? Why not just do that? So, I mean, part of me is like, oh my God, this is huge. The other part of me is like, add it to the pile, I guess. I guess put it on their tab. Put another round of tyranny on the docket of the Democrats because it's already overflowing. We already have far, far, far more than enough evidence. Put all these people away for life without even an investigation because they admit what they do. In the case of people like Alejandro Mayorkas, did he not open the border? I mean, do we need to prove the border was open? It's like treason. These people committed treason. They weaponized our government against their enemies. Just because they failed in their mission doesn't mean they didn't try. I have the feeling that's going to be like the defense here. And so it's like, well, we never brought charges with these investigations. I'm just like, okay, so if someone shows up to your house and shoots at you, but they don't hit you with the bullet, then I guess you got nothing. No, it's attempted murder. Like, this was attempted tyranny. It was tyranny. I mean, it was just tyranny flat out. They weren't able to send all these people to jail like they'd wanted to. That's not because they didn't try. It's not because they wouldn't if they could have. So again, it's just infuriating that we have to talk about this endlessly. More information, great. You just picture the closet, open the door, and it's just stuffed. It's stuffed all the way to the doorway with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page's text messages and Operation Warp Speed and the Russia collusion hoax, and it's just the Ukraine impeachment, January 6th. It's just like, hey, we'll just try to shove this latest tranche of information in with the rest of it because it's overflowing at this point. We have more than enough we could ever possibly need to send every one of these people to the electric chair. And we can't even get most of them disbarred or punished in any way whatsoever. And by the way, we, meaning Alex Jones, was the only journalist document tranche. The only person noted on page 72, there's a list of, people who were involved in this and what their role was. From Brianna Morello, investigators from Arctic Frost leveraged FBI field offices nationwide to carry out their probe. And in this list, as Adan Salazar notes, you have Alex Jones' cell phone. So this is actually another violation on top of everything that we're talking about. because they didn't have a warrant for Alex Jones's cell phone. They had a warrant for all these other people. They had a warrant for Rudy Giuliani. They had a warrant for Mark Meadows and Jeffrey Clark and Steve Bannon. They didn't have a warrant for Alex Jones, but they got his cell phone somehow. So just think about that. Arctic Frost had nothing. The other thing to consider, just like Trump, I mean, these things have sort of a pattern that they follow. You have the non-existent crime. I mean, we can map both these out, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, they really fit an equation quite well. You have an imaginary or non-existent crime. One case, it was collusion with Russia, never actually existed. In another case, it was the illegal advocacy for objecting to the Electoral College, which isn't a crime. It's literally just the electoral process as it stands constitutionally. You start off with the imaginary or non-existent crime. Then you get the search warrants, and it's a fishing expedition because you think they could be doing something. They could have something, whatever it is. Either you're going to get information you can use to beat them electorally, or you can find something that you can frame as a crime and charge them with that. And then each time they get these warrants, they get the surveillance, totally illegal, predicated on something that didn't exist, but they get it, and then they find nothing. Despite having complete access, because all these other people, they got the phone logs, they got where they called from, who they called, how long the call duration lasted. Not so the case with Alex Jones' cell phone. With Alex Jones' cell phone, they got the whole cell phone. They got all the messages. They got all the texts. They got all the phone calls. And guess what? There was nothing there. There's nothing there. Again, they think that we're like them. They are just engaged in a constant whirlpool, maelstrom of corruption. Constantly lying, constantly manipulating. And so to them, if you could get a look in their cell phones, you think you'd find some evidence? If you could, without them knowing, be surveilling all of their phone calls and text messages, you think you'd find some interesting information? I bet you would. I bet they live in constant terror of their secret communications being exposed. So they think we must all be like that. They think we're all living with this sort of Damocles of the truth coming out. No, we ride the wave of we're on top of the truth. Surfing it like a Hawaiian. We love the truth. We don't have anything to hide. And so they don't understand that, investigate us, trying to find something, and there's nothing there. So they're left not just empty-handed, but their hands are empty as the result of an illegal warrant and a fraudulent case in the first place. So Alex Jones, as far as I can tell, is the only journalist in this actually surveilled, and he was surveilled more than the other people because they didn't actually get a warrant for him specifically. They went around that, they circumvented that, and were able to get his cell phone, a clone of his cell phone, complete for investigation. The FBI digging through it, Jack Smith digging through it, desperate to find something to pin on Alex Jones and InfoWars because the Sandy Hook thing wasn't working out. It didn't go as well as they thought it would. Kicking him off the internet didn't go as well as they thought it would. Calling InfoWars a white supremacist organization and spying on us for 12 years up to that point, it didn't exactly work. So then they went with, we'll surveil everything. We'll get into their personal communications through this backdoor warrantless surveillance. And they still have nothing. I don't know if there is a more clear-cut example of a violation of one of our rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights. This is so clearly a violation of what is the Fourth Amendment right against warrantless search and seizure. Well, the National Review says that it says the freak out, it's a faux freak out over Arctic Frost. What do we need to do to convince them that this is real? What do we need to do to convince them that we genuinely care about the fact that our government was able to mass surveil the opposition party. Hey, okay, if the freakout's fake, if this is all just a big nothing burger, then let's do it to them. Let's do it to them. We'll have Pam Bondi and Cash Patel write little memos back and forth to each other and say, hey, you know, these Democrats are engaged in a plot to get elections on Election Day. How dare they? That has to be illegal, isn't it? Sorry, how did he put it? Sorry, we can use the exact language they use if we really want to. So I'll report it, all right? Open source reporting and public statements made by individuals closely associated with Donald Trump present an articulable factual basis for indicating the existence of a federal crime. Okay, so this is your open source report. Merrick Garland committed crimes. Okay, so now Cash Patel can take that and he can say, quote, open source reporting presents an articulable factual basis indicating the existence of a federal crime. There you go. That's all you need. I just did it for you. I articulated a potential federal crime of Merrick Garland. Treason. There it is. So now you can take that, Cash Patel, and you can send a memo to Pam Bondi, and you can tell Pam Bondi this open source reporting indicates that there may have been a federal crime. So now I think we need to investigate every Democrat journalist, Democrat activist organizations. We don't need to tell them or inform them. We just need to get the telecommunications company to share live, you know, information about what they're doing, who they're calling, where they're going. And, you know, maybe we find something there that we can charge them with. And if not, I guess we'll just skate away scot-free. And if they complain about it, we can just throw this back in their face. I guess these are the options. Either this was bad and they need to be punished for it, or this was fine and this is just how government works now. This is just how politics works in America in the year 2025, is whoever's in power just uses every tool at their disposal in any crooked and unjustifiable way they can to spy on all of their enemies in an effort not just to win against them electorally, but to send them all to jail for the rest of their lives. And if that doesn't work, you just activate your street gangs to go out and physically attack the government in hopes that you can cause a civil war and bring the whole country to its knees. That's a Democrat playbook. That's either how our government works, and that's the order of operations we need to comport with, or we can send all of these people to jail and get back to the business of being a country again, being a republic again, having liberty again, and having a government restricted in its actions, not restricting us while it has a free hand to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, spy on whoever it wants for whatever reason it wants. Or you just burn the whole thing to hell, because I'm sort of fine with any of it. I'm kind of fine with it. Maybe we need to protest this. Yeah, I don't know. Where should we go? Where do you think we should go to protest this type of thing? I have an idea. Wait a second. What if we do it again? What if we really do it this time? What if it's not a protest this time? What if we show up at the Capitol and actually do what they said we were doing? Wouldn't that be interesting? Maybe that's what we need.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexshowstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid, Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, two great flavors, now available at deltashore.com. High-quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. also the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. Infowarsstore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.